I think that's us recording.
Okay, let's pop open this drink. You pop open this drink?
No, no, I want the first minute of this episode to just be you struggling to open this.
I opened it. Give me all cups.
Okay. What is this accent you're... I don't even know if it's an accent. I feel maybe this is just a voice you put on when you
what
think...
What is this?
Do you want to introduce our drink? Do you want to read it?
I mean, sure. It's from Trader Joe's. I can't remember the last time I've had apple cider.
So, this is Trader Joe's 100% Honeycrisp apple cider, unfiltered. Not from concentrate. Everybody take a sip.
Oh, that's good.
Mmm, delicious.
I like that.
I know, me too.
Let me take a little bit more.
Fill her up. Ah, yes.
Here you go.
Naomi, who are you?
My name's Naomi Guy.
I'm Joel Guy.
And this is Bianca, and you're listening to Why Will No One Date These Guys?
So many reasons.
It's a podcast where we talk about relationship-adjacent material sometimes. Other times, we just kind of dick around and talk about Dave Chappelle and The Matrix. Yeah, I don't know what type of episode this is going to fall into. This is neither of those things.
Well, welcome back to Why Will No One Date These Guys, the Joel and Naomi Guy, a podcast where we air out Naomi's dirty laundry. Yes.
That's right, it's Sunday.
For the entertainment of the audience. So, you may ask, who is this third person that I speak of that is quietly whispering to herself in the corner?
This is the third guy sibling.
Yes.
This is Bianca, who may as well be my sister. Bianca, please introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Bianca. I am also known as Rosie's, you know, semi-biological sister. Switched at birth. You mean you never know unless you meet my dad.
So, this wonderful woman sitting next to me is my best friend, and I consider her my soulmate. I've never met someone quite like her, and I'm extremely thankful for her every day. We met in 11th grade art class, where I would just rant about my life. And you'll know why in a couple of minutes, why I ranted about my life in 11th grade art class. We've been going to school together since middle school, but always just ran in different circles. So now we're like besties, and we don't talk to literally anyone else that we used to go to school with.
Literally. And I never saw this one coming either, if I'm going to be honest with you. But...
Bianca, what was your first impression of me?
My first impression was you?
Her big nose.
That?
Shut the fuck up.
Just threw me off guard. I was like, whoa.
I see that shit from space.
Sort of a burst
I'm not that romantic.
We know. Hence this podcast. But my first impression, well, I'm gonna be honest. Well, I was kind of like a loner in seventh grade, like when I first came to CPA,
yeah,
which is where we went to school.
No, we went to Michigan State.
I fucking wish. But yeah, no, the first time I really got an impression of you is when you were walking to your bike and another he, which will not be named, was following you, like, just talking and insulting you and stuff like that. And you just had enough and just went, like, right across his face. And I was like, all right, she's cool.
My sister and then beat up bullies.
No, it wasn't a bully. It was, like, this guy that I was, like, dating as much as you could date in, like,
dating
7th grade.
Like, yeah, it was, like,
and I turned around and just smacked the shit out of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, you, like, cocked back. I was like, whoa, okay. And
this
then,
is a... true crime podcast where we talk about true crimes my sister's committed.
So then I went up to you and just started telling you everything that just went down and why I ended up beating the shit out of him. I didn't beat the shit out of him, I just slapped him. But.
Yeah, and then just like walked away, and then I like caught up to you and I was like, girl, you good? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
So what is my best friend doing on the podcast about relationships, sex, and dating, you may ask? Well, today we're airing out my dirty laundry. And she's here to help. This past week, today is October 21st. We don't know when this is going to air. Probably as soon as possible because I really want to air out this dirty laundry.
Me too.
This past week, I received a text from my ex-boyfriend who will not be named. I, like I just said, will not be naming his name on the podcast because that's disrespectful. But for the entertainment of the audience... I will be reading this text to Joel, my brother, for the first time, and we will be going through it line by line to do a deep analysis of where the fuck he got the audacity.
I am here for two reasons. One, to provide color commentary, And two, because I feel I'm going to be a very effective straight man to this insane delusional state that has come about as a result of whatever the content of this is. This is live streamed. I have not seen. I barely even know the content. I've made some guesses in my mind, but I genuinely do not know what is contained within these text messages. And it could totally be that I'm like, oh, no, that's fine. That's totally okay.
It's not.
Oh, boy. It's almost theatrical.
I will say this. I feel really bad for my sister having to go through this, but I do appreciate the fact that she is living up to our podcast title, Why Will No One Date These Guys? I am currently dating someone, so I'm not doing a very good job of living up to the title, Why Will No One Date These Guys?
Oh my God.
And I guess in order to maintain this long term, we're either going to have to change the name or I have to hope they break up with me. We'll see what happens.
Doll!
Anyways, Naomi.
To give a little context, I broke up with my now ex-boyfriend for a variety of reasons within the past 6 months. I'm going to be very
vague.
How many
times within the last 6 months?
Damn! But just to make it very vague and not give any more information than that, I did break up with him within the last 6 months. And I got back onto dating apps pretty quickly after the breakup. Just for, like, shits and giggles and the fact that I have made some, like, really good friends on dating apps and I needed more content for the podcast.
That's where she actually met you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that was a secret.
So, like I had mentioned in several previous episodes, I kind of brought up some, like, good profiles that I found, and so it's just, like, good content for the podcast. It's good entertainment to, like, just, like, talk about these things.
And how.
And, just to give you more context, I have shared this text with multiple people, mm-hmm. and all of them seem to be just as puzzled as I am. So,
it's because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, what do you have to say about this?
It's been, like, weeks already, like,
it's
let
been
it
like
go.
Over a month since, like, I was like, I'm done for good.
Yeah, and then just the nerve,
because it was a little over a month after we had talked. So I broke up with him, and then I got a text message from him right after my fall break. It was, like, the first day back on campus, but, like, he had already dropped off his stuff, like, at my house,
yeah.
which had stuff from another girl, like, in the box that he gave me. Like, it was stuff from another girl.
I feel like he did that on purpose, if I'm being honest.
I don't think guys are smart enough to do that kind of power play.
You don't think so? I mean, if you met him, the kind of stuff that he's pulled, like...
Yeah, he's kind of a petty
Yeah, he's super petty, super manipulative, like, he looks dumb, but...
Damn!
Oh, God!
Okay, before...
I'm gonna get so much shit from this. Jesus Christ.
Before we get into the actual reading, do I need to make predictions?
Yeah.
This isn't, like, a tiny text.
I also
want
to, like, read the responses that people sent to me after I sent them screenshots of this text. It was on my, like, Snapchat story for, like, a good 20 minutes, and I was like, when your ex-boyfriend... texts you randomly and tries to gaslight you after weeks of silence or something like that. And then I was like, no. And then I was like, and then I was like, oh wait, I should make a podcast out of this. So I deleted it. And then I was like, damn it, I really should have kept that up. Anyways, keep going.
Okay, so my off the wall, out of the realm of possibility idea is he texted you like a very long poem.
Okay.
Or, like, half of a song he's either heard or decided to write for you.
He's not that creative.
About his feelings. Okay.
I would say he's written me poems. He's never written a song.
No one likes poetry. Why did you let him do that?
I didn't let him do anything.
We can take that a couple of ways. Okay, second is he owns up to all of his mistakes and tries to make it seem that he's had some kind of conversion and or revelation in the last period, whether it be like starting to go to like alcohol or drug awareness training or found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he thinks that taking these steps is enough to enamor you back into his life. Third possibility is...
Okay.
He, out of the blue, decided to start blaming you for everything that went wrong, is saying a lot of shit about you as a person that he's like, this is going to impact you for the rest of your life and you're never going to get over this, X, Y, and Z, and was expecting that you might react and blow up on him or interact with him in some way, but you didn't. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Okay, let's get right into this.
You
so
sure
this
you
is
didn't
the way
read these?
This
I did
is
not.
The way Ooh. This is the way it's gonna go. I'm gonna read it as a whole. There will be initial reactions afterwards, and then we will go line by line and really just analyze the shit out of this text. So
we all went to liberal arts schools, right? So
yes.
We're ready for this.
Every word.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Hey.
Ooh, choice.
Block. Block. I have a few things to say. I just wanted to tell you, thank you for not talking about me on your podcast. I appreciate the respect for privacy. Oop. Whenever I've been listening to it in groups lately, I've been nervous you'll say something, but you kept it on the DL, which is good! Exclamation point. I'm also glad you found a new man so fast. It's weird to think about him fucking you, but I mostly got over it when I realized how fast you moved on. I can finally giggle about you having cringe Bumble dates and sex, which is something I've never been able to do about our past... Wait, about our relationship in the past. I think by listening to your public podcast about your sex life, I was like, yup, this is not for me. She's going to London anyways. I'm just going to wish you... I just wish you didn't blatantly lie to me after 4 years on and off. That's part of this scenario. Shit, I lost my spot.
It's like a book.
Harry Potter and the text message from her ex.
Shit, I can't find the middle one. Okay. I just wish you didn't blatantly lie to me after 4 years on and off. That's part of the scenario that doesn't sit too well with me, but I'll get over it. I just don't get why you would have to lie to me and say you didn't have time for me, when in reality you just want to date other people and be intimate with them instead. Just tell me we didn't click anymore, and so much time would have been saved. Tell me you didn't like religion, I act too Republican for you, you think you are a god, and you just... don't have fun with me anymore. It's clear as day that you've moved on when you were on dating apps 2 weeks or less after breaking up with me. I can only complain to a certain extent. I'm having good sex again for the first time in a while, but it just caught me off guard, I guess, how you trashed me so quickly. I still wish you the best, but I also wish that you didn't try to fuck with my well-being again. We have been through a lot of things with each other. I think it's time for us just to be a memory. So, Joel, initial reactions.
His
face dirty.
I feel I need some additional context here, because
mm-hmm.
I do have questions,
mm-hmm.
but they will be dependent on it.
Okay.
When was the last time you spoke to him before this text?
Okay, we broke up, and then like a week or two later, he texted me and was like, hey, I'm dropping off your stuff at your house. And then I said, hey, can you not do that? Because we have people, like, take things off my porch. I'm not home right now. Can you do it at another point?
Right.
And he said, no, it's already done. And kind of was just like, I'll talk to you, like, never kind of shit. And he sounded so mad. And then, like, I was later going through the stuff, and there was another bitch's stuff in the pile of stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that was, like, two or 3 weeks before.
3 weeks, okay.
I'd say a month. I'm just going to say a month.
Interesting.
And then nothing.
Has
right?
he sent similar texts before, such as the periods when you were on and off?
So, the periods when we were on and off, I would try to, like, he has sent, like, messages like this, like, long messages, and he kind of tried to, like, manipulate the situation and make it seem like it was my fault. But let me be extremely clear, when I broke up with him... In the conversation that I had with him, I said, he asked me, well, it's the first thing he said. He said, so you won't care if I fuck other bitches. First thing I said after I said, I think we should break up. The second thing he said was, so we're never getting back together again. And I said, yes, I think it's time to move on. I made that extremely clear. It wasn't, hey, I think we should get back together in the future once we figure our stuff out. I was like, no, I'm done for good.
Question. Isn't that the point of like breaking up? Is
yes, but our types of breakups, I'm gonna be really like out and open with this. Our types of breakups were like, I'm gonna break up with you and then like a week later we'll get back together. Like
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that's how it usually went.
Mm-hmm.
So and then the third thing he said, I don't remember the third thing he said. Oh, and then he's like, let's be friends. And I was like, I was like, okay, but my definition of friends, like, with an ex is, like, I talk to you when I run into you, and that's, like, it.
Yeah, like, you're civil.
Like, I'm not gonna go, like, out of my way to, like, hang out with my ex-boyfriend. Like, that just seems, like, especially with him, because, like, usually that just led to, like, more of the, like, toxic cycle of us just, like, getting back together and stuff again.
Yeah.
So, Joel, do you have any more questions? Jesus Christ, that note card is full.
Okay.
Oh, it's so got a backside.
So do I. It's an interesting letter.
Yeah. It's not a letter. It's a text.
Text. He wanted it to be a letter, but
yeah.
I don't know if you would open your mailbox for that or if you just dump it in the recycling. Yeah. I have three initial thoughts about the overarching tone.
Yeah.
He's someone who thinks monogamy is super important to you. And by extension, you think the relationship you just had was much more important to you than you're projecting. The second...
Well, wait. Let me clarify this. He thinks that the relationship that I just had was more important than...
He thinks monogamy is super important, which is why he's throwing in these bits about having sex with other people.
Yeah.
And thinks that you were more deeply invested in this relationship and that he can play off that.
Okay.
The second is someone who's not over you.
Okay.
Someone who feels the need to bring up a lot of this stuff and get his presence back in your mind. And third, someone who thinks there's still a chance he can either manipulate you back in a relationship or make you feel bad and go back into this pattern of getting back together with him at some point. Do you feel any of those are off the mark?
Okay, so when I initially texted a person who will remain unnamed, I sent her the text messages, and I said, this is what's going on, what do I do? And she said, he's clearly not over you. I'm not going to read the text messages, because then you'll know exactly who it is, but she just basically said that it was like, he's not over you.
Bianca's in the room, it's okay.
It's not Bianca. I sent this text message.
This is actual best friend. She first sent
I swear to God, I sent this text message to like 40 people.
Oh God.
Like, I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah. So I also feel that like I know you don't, there's certain things you don't want to talk about. It's interesting because there's almost an element of guilt where he's like, thanks for not talking about me on the podcast. Like, I can understand that
some people don't want to be like... We'll talk about this more, like, when, like, we're going through it line by line. But the thing is that he did not like the fact that I had a podcast talking about sex, dating, and relationships.
We don't talk about sex. It's, like, adjacent to what we discussed.
But the thing was that because it was advertised as a sex education podcast and I advertised it that way, he was kind of ashamed and kind of guilted me when I talked about it. So when I would say things like, hey, have you listened to this consent episode? I think it's super educational and my friends have learned a lot about it, like from it. Not in the sense that like you need to learn more about consent. It was just like all my friends have learned something and told me that they learned something.
Our most popular episode to date.
Exactly. He was kind of just like, okay, yeah, and like pushed it aside. But then also he was like, it's kind of weird when I talk about it because like you have this podcast about sex and dating and relationships with your brother and it's weird that I'm like when I talk about it. And I was like, then don't fucking talk about it. Like, it's not your podcast, it's not your job to like advertise that shit.
Right. I'll just pretend to be your husband, then it'll be super weird for him to talk about, oh yeah, my girlfriend and her husband,
sweet home Alabama.
Yeah, an interesting letter. Yeah, I do feel when you look, and this is something I've been researching for a while, and by researching it's really just like scrolling through endless Twitter threads from like really misogynistic guys about like pickup artist techniques, because I do want to do an episode that
you
like,
are deep in that life.
I am deep in that life. I want to do an episode about the messaging guys are receiving about how to get into relationships and maintain relationships with sexy, hot, beautiful women. Because one, like, this isn't taught in schools, so like they have to pick it
up
somewhere.
There's not a class that's called How to Maintain Relationships with Sexy, Hot, Beautiful Women.
Especially if there isn't, we need to develop. That could be a book. That could be a book title. Sexy, Hot, Beautiful Women, The Guy Family's Guide to Relationships.
Yeah, write that down.
I'm underlining it. Yeah, so it is a taught school. So like, really, it's either going to be absorbed by individuals, mostly men, through like what their friends and family are saying and the messages they're receiving there, or they're going to go and find educational resources. And I think especially guys who are in their teenage years are interested in getting in bed with a lot of women, and so they're going to be seeking out this stuff actively, and the messages they may be picking up may be horrible and misogynistic and terrible. But like, one of the core themes that a lot of this stuff has is you can logic women into dating you. You can just use your brain and the right combination of words and negging. Like, hey, Bianca, how you doing? Gotta, you know, break that touch barrier, make them comfortable around you. You gotta, like, use clever words. If you're interested in someone, you gotta talk to their attractive friends so that they think they now have to compete and that they have to vie for your attention. And so there's all these, like, strategies that are just, like, women are dumb, and if you play off of their dumbness in a certain way, they will fall in love with you.
Men are dumb and stupid, and I hate them. What is that, TikTok?
I don't even
know. Okay, but, like, the point I'm making is I sense a lot of those vibes in this message.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, he thinks this is a message that will somehow both convince you that this relationship is more important to you than you think it is at the moment, and that you will then decide to contact him back and say, you know what, we need to try things again.
It's manipulative, is what it is. And you put your hand, like, your finger on the nose. What is that saying? What is that?
Finger on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse when you said that. When I first was like, when I told you about this text message, you were like, he's been manipulating you for years. Like,
yeah,
we're
is he
done.
Trying to get you back?
Yeah,
what?
That's exactly. Like, okay, what do you have on your note card? Do you have anything?
No, I don't.
She drew
so
a picture
blank.
Of an
do
alligator.
Do you have any blind reactions? I need to not blind. But.
No, it's just like mind blowing at one point. Cause like, yeah, you guys have moved on. This stuff has been dropped off. Yeah, like, you guys have both like made it very clear that you're gonna move on, do your own thing. Not that it's any of your guys' business anyway. Like,
yeah.
What's done is done. Like,
yeah.
You guys have been in this cycle for since I fucking know you.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it just.
Something we talked about in one of our first episodes that I think bears repeating is that guys don't think no means no. And that ties into, like, this whole logicking women into loving you thing where it's like they don't actually mean that. They just need to be convinced into believing
that. Yeah, and
that.
If you coax them enough,
yeah.
Like, they'll say yes.
And so, like, one of the things I think we discussed in the consent episode was the fact that there's a sex educator whose, like, primary job was just talking to young women and saying, you need to learn how to say no. Like, do simple refusals to basic things. And even something like, hey, can I have your pen, is not something young women could, like, say no to. Mm-hmm. And I do feel those vibes are here as well, where it's like, again, you've laid out what I sounds like are clear boundaries. It sounds like you've drifted apart over time, both, like, outside of this conversation, you've mentioned things, and, like, inside this conversation. And he does firmly believe that, like, it's just a matter of, you know, seducing you back. And, you know, you'll be off the ropes in no time.
So, let's reread the text and go through it line by line.
Okay, so let's talk about hey, because that stuck in my mind.
that got me.
That
hey.
Is a power play. Wow. They hey. Say romance is dead. He just resurrected it and is, like, puppeteering its corpse like Pinocchio.
No, the thing was, the day that I, like, got this text message, I was having a very anxious, like, day. And so I...
And this didn't help.
It didn't. I was
no,
like...
No, you, like, texted me before you even got the text. You're just like, I feel like crap today. And I was just like, oh, God.
And I was like, yeah. I'm gonna, like... And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna eat something. Like, I'm gonna go to class, and then I'm gonna go home, and I'm just gonna have a no-bones day. I'm just kidding. But, like, you don't get that. You're too old for this. And so I was not having it. And so the first thing I did was I called my friend, and I was on the phone with him, and I was like, listen to this shit. I was like, I told you I was having a bad day. Listen to this shit. Tell me what you think. I'm about to cry. Because I was so anxious. It wasn't like a mad. It was a mixture of like mad and like just why do I still have to deal with this?
Exasperation.
Yeah. So let's go through it line by line.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. Can we talk about the use of the word hey? Because I feel there's a lot later.
It wasn't hey, period. It was hey, no punctuation. I have a few things to say.
That's interesting.
Why is that interesting?
I feel hey is used when, like, people don't know how to start something, and especially when they're, like,
he could have just
rush.
Said, I have a few things to say.
Yeah. So, like...
Hey.
I don't know. There's, like, half a thought I have regarding that, but I don't want to read too much into this.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you... Blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to thank you for not talking about me on your podcast.
I think okay, he so did this to himself, you know?
No, but... no. The thing is that, yes, you were incorrect in saying that, but also... He says, I appreciate the respect for privacy. So the thing is, he knows that he fucked up, is what I'm taking from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why he doesn't want me to talk about him on the podcast. I was completely fine moving past this situation and not talking about it because it's not anything that I want to talk about. But the thing was that because of this text, I was like, he's obviously trying to play dirty. I will play dirty back.
Bring it.
It almost sounds like he's starting with the sandwich rule, where, you know, if you're, like...
Oh, you, like...
Trying,
yeah.
If you're trying to criticize yeah. someone, like let's say you're a coach for, like, a little league team.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to give feedback to someone that was really bad, you need to be able to tell them straight up what their issue is. But that's hard to hear. You know, we've talked about, like, stress in one of our episodes and, you know, how people don't like being alerted to the fact that they might be not as good at something as they think they are. Or they already know it, but they don't want it to be pointed out and other people to recognize it. So the sandwich rule, which I've adopted in my everyday life, which I think is great, our audience should adopt it, is you give a compliment to someone.
You absolutely utterly shit on them, and then you compliment them.
And then you compliment them. It has to be genuine. It has to come from a good place. You can't use it as a way to deflect, like, being a terrible person and wanting, like, tear someone down. But, like, I think some people have absorbed it as such, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, if I do this structure of compliment, insult, compliment, it's okay, all is forgiven. How it should be used is, hey, Timmy, that was a great ball you threw out on the field. Now, I do think you could have aimed a little bit higher over the mound, and I want you to practice that later this week, but I think you're doing an amazing job, and you could be, you know, star pitcher in no time. Right? Like that's a good application of the sandwich
rule. We were obviously talking about baseball in this conversation.
Oh, definitely.
Well, yeah. This gentleman
struck
out.
Do you think that's what the hay was for? Butter up a little bit.
He says, whenever I've been listening to it in groups lately, I've been nervous you'll say something, but you kept it on the DL, which is good. Why are you listening to this in groups? I'm asking you specifically right now, because I know you're fucking listening to this in a fucking group. One, why are you listening to this? Keep giving me views. It'll only make me money. Thank you, honey.
It does not make us money.
But the thing is...
They don't know this.
But the thing is, why are you nervous? What do you think I'll say? And also, why are you listening to it in groups? And why are you talking down to me? He said, which is good, !
Okay, so I have a couple theories on this. The first is, he's living with roommates, right?
He lives with one roommate.
Okay. Multiple people know this podcast exists. It's come up at some point, or they follow you on Instagram or whatever, and they know it pisses him off, so they're just playing it to make him feel weird.
I do that shit.
The second possibility is, like, they used to get together and, like, smoke weed and listen to it and either, like, make fun of it or make fun of him, which
play
is also
really, really
loud.
Okay, but the thing is that, like, his friends specifically spent years shitting on me, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was the latter.
Okay, so the third option is, yeah, just them picking on you as they're, like, driving places. It's like, oh, let's go see that new James Bond film. Also, you hear what your bitch ex said the other day?
He said to me in passing, like, very strangely, like, so out of context. He was like, if we ever break up, this was months before we actually broke up. He was like, if we ever break up, I'm not going to allow people to, like, talk down on you. And then
okay.
I was like, okay, why didn't you do that in our fucking relationship? Because, like, his friends spent the vast majority of our relationship either trying to break us up or, like, talking down on me.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't
do anything.
He would
just stand there.
He wouldn't do anything.
Well, that's what a good boyfriend does.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't know.
One of the reasons to keep him, Naomi.
I didn't know that that was, like, what a good boyfriend did. So thank you for educating me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of pickup.
Something to look out for.
I'm also glad you found a new man so fast. What new mans?
What a great application of the sandwich rule.
What new mans?
Literally, like...
That's what's called a complisalt. It's a compliment and insult at the same time. Both, I'm really happy for you, but also, you're a whore.
Yeah, so again, I think that might be, like, another roommate thing. Like, maybe they saw you.
Yeah,
like,
because I... No, because I... Okay, because I posted something of me and my friend, who's strictly a friend, who I made on Bumble. But the... Wait, was it Bumble or Hinge? Either way...
It was Bumble, huh?
I think it was, I think it was Hint. Okay. But, like, yeah, I think it was, because then I, yeah, anyways, so, but, like, he's an insanely great guy, so I took him to First Friday, and I posted a picture of it, like, on my, Instagram, and I know that his friends follow me, so I'm guessing that's where he got it from. But also, I was re-listening to some of our podcasts that we've been posting the past couple weeks since we, like, broke up, and the thing was that I think that he took this from a episode that we recorded with a couple of months ago we were still together, and I mentioned that I had a partner, but I think that he just ignored all the conversations that I told him, hey, this is in editing, it's been in editing for like months now, and I was actually like, I strictly should have, like, it was about him when I was talking about like having a new partner in the episode. Okay. So like he literally just played himself. Yeah, again, like, I was talking about
just,
him.
Like, super jealous and, like, just finding any reason to jab at you.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that he considers it, like, a reflection on you, like, being a slut or whatever. Really, it's more of a reflection on him to the extent that if someone's so checked out of a relationship that they're automatically on dating apps, right?
Yeah, what does that say?
What does that say about you as a partner, that the person you've been with is already thinking about finding a better relationship?
But I wasn't thinking about finding a better relationship. It was just like, oh, I'm on this for shits and giggles. Like, it was literally just purely content related. And, like, I found some cool people. So, like, it wasn't even like, oh, I'm, like, so, like, I would say I was checked out of the relationship, but I wouldn't go so far as I'm actively seeking a relationship at the moment.
But then there's this next line, which I had to, like, underline.
Yeah.
Not that it's any of his business anyway.
Yeah. Like, he said,
I'm sure he's doing the exact same thing.
It's weird to think about you fucking him. Wait, him fucking you.
She'll love this when I type this line.
But
this
I mostly got over it when I realized how fast, in all caps, you moved on.
I don't think he's over it. You know, like, he says he is, but it almost seems like he isn't. Am I crazy?
I don't think he is. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't think he is. Might be an unpopular opinion. I don't think he's over it.
No, I don't think
so. Also, how much brain space does he dedicate to thinking about you having sex with other men?
I don't want to know.
Enough to write this whole goddamn text about it.
This text, for reference to our listeners, since y'all can't see this text that I have on my phone right now, it is three screenshots. Three screenshot pages full of text. That's how long it is. This is, like, Times New Roman, like, 12-point font.
Do you think he's just, like, he's just at work, like, working in the fecal plants, eating...
You're just trying to be so fucking vague right now.
Eating poop, which is what he does for a living. And he's like, oh, I bet she's going out on a group date with the whole football team. Arr, I'm so angry right now. Or he's just, like, walking down the street to the poop store, and he's like, oh, man, I need more poop for dinner. Oh, I bet she's going out with the whole ASU football team right now. Oh, and the nerds.
If I wanted to get back at him, I wouldn't go for the ASU football team. I'd go for his favorite college football team. Ooh. And I'd date, like, the quarterback or something. And I'd, like, really just put myself out there and really just fuck with him. But, I'm not that fucking petty.
Well, I'm saying you could be petty. Do the same thing as you did with the First Friday photo and just, like, see them at a game and run up afterwards and be like, hey, can I get a photo with you?
And then just be like, love of my life or something.
Me and my new BF.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
He said, I can finally giggle about you having cringe bubble dates and sex, which is something I've never been able to do about our relationship in the past. I'm going to be honest. When we got back together after our time apart, I didn't like what he told me about the situationship that he had with another woman, because he went into detail about it. The reason, I just said, this is what happened when we were apart. I've gotten tested, and that was the extent of what I told him.
So anyways, I'm up to missionary, doggy style, some thing that they do in Germany, which I don't think they have a term for in the States. I've machined all these new toys. My bedposts are now covered in scratch marks.
Yep.
I've personally
gained
3 inches through an experimental surgical procedure.
My name is tattooed on 3 different bitches' legs. Yeah, that was.
I may be getting sued for paternity soon. We'll see.
And he was like, I was more fixated on the fact that he stayed with one person that entire time, and like the fact that obviously there was feelings for just one person when I was dating around that entire time, and it wasn't like I was just like fixated on one person. But he went out of his way to make me feel like a slut. a slut.
Which is what they called in Germany.
And make me feel, which I did not, like, he makes it seem like I slept around with everyone and their moms, like, at least three times around.
Well, because you did.
Shh. He doesn't need to know that. But the thing was that, like, I didn't. And, like, I wasn't sleeping with everyone that I was going on dates with. And I think that he thought that I was or something. But anyways, I'm glad that you're laughing at the fact that I'm having cringe Bumble dates and sex. Thank you.
It's also very laughable.
I think by listening to your public podcast about your sex life, I was like, yep, this is not for me. She's going to London anyway. I feel like he's also talking down to me there.
A little bit. I mean, he's definitely...
Well, it's almost like he's shaming me.
Oh, yeah.
For talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but again...
Which, like, I don't.
I don't know what podcast he's listening to.
Like, you go on and on.
We are like...
And then he put me in this position, and then this one, and then he tied me down.
And boy, we read the entire Kama Sutra that night. We did a book report on it in the morning. Yeah, like, that's not really the content of our podcast. Again, we'll discuss vagaries. I don't think we've been going into detail unless you're, like, super conservative and the idea Naomi's talking about her new dress that shows off her ankles is too much.
Look at them. They're so progressive with their ankles.
She's oiled her ankles.
He said, I just wish you didn't blatantly lie to me after 4 years on and off.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, because the reason why I broke up with him was because I did not have time for a relationship at that time. I would say that since I've made more time and I've, like, cleared up my schedule in the sense that, like, I know, like I've compartmentalized, what is the term for that? Made a schedule, like, I compartmentalized my schedule.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the sense that, like, okay, this is when I'm, like, when I should be doing homework, and this is when I should, like, be relaxing and, like, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't have a good handle on that. And I was also, like, overextending myself when I was, like, a part of a club and I was volunteering and I was, like, doing all this shit and, like, going to school and, like, working and stuff. So, like, I have prioritized things in my life and I prioritize fun things in my life. And so I did not lie to him when I told him that I didn't have time for a relationship. I also was just starting therapy and I didn't have the emotional capacity for the relationship that he wanted to be in with me. And I think that he thought that he was ready for a more extensive relationship, like a more serious relationship than I think that he could have been in. Like, I don't think he's ready for that type of relationship that he wants to be in. Go ahead.
Again, this goes back to women not actually knowing what they want and men not respecting the fact that women have the ability to say no. Hey, did you ever listen to the consent episode, buddy? We're like, it's okay to just say no. You don't need a reason.
Like your friend group.
Like we haven't gotten into, like, specific abusive behavior. I know we did kind of an episode on it, but we really want to dig more into it.
We will be doing that later, yeah.
Yeah, and like, one of the things that's talked about a lot is women are afraid to say no and explain their reasoning. They want to come up with excuses that, like, make it easier for people to process that, you know, that there's a breakup occurring. And you see this, you know, even when, like, guys approach women at bars and they lie about having boyfriends because they're afraid that you're going to react if they just say, no, I'm not interested in you. You seem too pushy. You have, you know, a big wart on your face.
You stink.
You smell bad. Your friend has been, like, eyeing me the entire night and, like, squeezed my butt when I was at the bar. And you didn't do anything to stop. And, like, there's all these things that women might say. And they could just not be interested, which is also totally valid because they're out on the town enjoying time with their friends. But no, women have to lie. They have to say things like, I have a boyfriend. I'm a lesbian.
I use that one a lot.
I'm a vampire. No, guys might be into that.
make me bleed.
but you see my point, right? It's the same kind of logic being displayed here. And it's disappointing, gentlemen. It's disappointing.
Yeah. Bianca?
Yes?
Do you have anything to say before we move on?
No, not really.
Okay.
And Joel said it all.
I'll let you take first crack next time.
No, you're totally fine.
He said, I just kind of wish you didn't blatantly lie to me after 4 years on and off. That's part of this scenario that doesn't sit too well with me, but I'll get over it.
Scenario.
I don't think you have.
But the thing is that, like, he's, like, guilting me.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, like,
I'll get over it. Like,
I'll get over it.
I'm mature here, but you're not mature. But, like, I'm mature, and you're not. But, like, it's okay.
I'll get over it.
I'm also, scenario is also a weird situation. Like, I think it applies here, but it almost has, like, a video gamey feel. Like, this was stage 5, scenario 4, Modern Warfare 3. Murder all the infants and the orphan. I don't know what happens in Modern Warfare games. I don't know. It seems video gaming to me.
I just don't get why you would have to lie to me and say you didn't have time for me when in reality you just want to date other people and be intimate with them instead. Like I mentioned before, I did not lie to this person. And I did, in fact, not have time for him. And I did not want... I still don't want to date other people. I don't want to date him either. Just putting that out there.
Really?
And, I don't want to be intimate with them instead. I don't want to be intimate with people right now. Sex is scary, kids. Just putting that out there. So, that's my...
Buckets.
Yeah, buckets. Joel?
No. I've said my piece.
Bianca?
Let me read that one more time.
I just wish you didn't have to lie to me and say you didn't have time for me when in reality you just want to date other people and be intimate with them instead.
I mean, even if you gave that as your reason, like, I don't know why he has, like, second... Like, that's a valid reason. Like, he just doesn't take anything what you say. Like,
he doesn't trust me.
Right, exactly. Like, he's just rebutting every single thing you said.
Like, and the thing is that, like, there was...
excuses and, like, stuff like that, but he just can't.
I just gave a contradiction in what you said, therefore I've out-logicked you.
Right. Just tell me why we didn't click anymore, and so much time would have been saved. Tell me you didn't like my religion, I act too Republican for you, and you think you are a god, and you just don't have fun with me anymore. One.
Republican.
One. Religion. I don't consider myself a religious person. You can be a religious person. I just didn't like the fact that it felt as if he wanted me to become religious in order to be with him long term. Two. Republican. Him and I had varying views on politics. I won't go into the details, but the thing is that I am going to admit, like, this is a fault of mine. I think that I am right when talking about politics, and that is a fault of mine, and that's why I'm going to therapy, because I specifically because I need to be able to, that's part of the reason why I'm going to therapy, is because I need to be able to hear other people's perspectives and not think that my perspective is the only perspective that's given. Three, the God thing. I said, going back a couple episodes, I said in an episode, oh, haha, I'm going to therapy. My therapist thinks I have a God complex. Oh my God, he's on a second postcard.
Oh God.
And I said that as a joke. I said that as a, let me just repeat this. I said that as a joke. And he took that as, obviously, she thinks she's better than me.
Says the one, like, being condescending, nitpicking at everything you say.
Taking things out of context.
Taking things out of context. Like, re-listening to things that you have said and, like, making himself so mad that he has to write, okay.
Oh my God, another thing about the you know, that picture that I posted with that guy that I told you about?
Yeah.
That I was just talking about? He always had an issue with me having male friends, and I think that was a direct reflection on him, because it made it seem as if he didn't think that females and males could be just friends.
That's funny.
Because it seemed as if he didn't trust the men, because he always, in those situations, when he was friends with them, and he sexualized them. So he automatically assumed that all men did the same thing.
Right. It's not you, it's them.
That's my perspective on it.
Yeah, so you have a God complex because he's projecting himself on other men because of his intention.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Joel, what are you so furiously... Oh my God, he filled out that whole thing.
I have thoughts. I don't want to, again, dig too much into this. First off, in the current dating world, I would almost argue that being... Republican is too Republican. I don't think this is a universal rule, obviously.
I don't think he's a registered Republican.
Okay, there are too many young women who identify as culturally and politically conservative, so yeah, I'm not going to pretend that our podcast is reaching all hearts and minds. But I think a significant portion of young women, as reflected by polling data, have socially progressive views that are not reflected in the current Republican platform or the politicians who were vying for power in the post-Trump era. So, yeah, I do think, statistically speaking, if you were to just roll the dice and pick a random young woman of your age, they may have issues with his Republicanism. You might have issues with his Republicanism. I don't know if that's a unique factor to you. I don't know why I brought that up. I just think it's interesting. But the reason I was furiously writing is I do think it's interesting that, like, you're apologizing for having political opinions. And this goes, I think, to the fact that women are constantly taught that their opinions are not 100% valid and that they need to caveat all of them rather than standing firm in their own belief. And the fact that you think that, among other things, it's worth going to therapy for is kind of silly.
Okay, no.
Don't let me mansplain, but I do want to, like, articulate this before you react, because I think I might get to a point you're about to bring up. We've discussed on previous episodes that there are assaults on abortion rights occurring in the United States. And there's no real such thing as having a moderate position on abortion rights, because when you adopt a moderate stance in U.S. politics, it just means the cultural conservatives win. And a really good example of that is this infrastructure bill we discussed on an episode which may not be published until late November, based upon the fact I'm going on vacation, where there was an infrastructure bill proposed, and then progressives pushed it up to $3.5 trillion after negotiations, and this thing was going to introduce new climate technology and repair U.S. infrastructure, and they added in some other cool stuff like free community college and women's health care and child care support and other things that are, like, good for the nation that we would say might move the needle on U.S. society forward. And the two moderates in the room, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have proceeded to negotiate down all the good portions, get rid of all the increased taxes on the wealthy, to create a bill that might only be $1.5 trillion, nowhere near enough to actually combat climate change. And still no Republicans are going to vote for it. But they've just moved the needle in the opposite direction and taken us away from a wonderful world. Not a perfect world, but a wonderful world where $3.5 trillion could be passed and improve the lives of so many. Reason I'm bringing that up is, a lot of women have firm political beliefs. A lot of women are adamant that their beliefs are valuable, but they're not willing to articulate that. And I think women should be a lot more angry and a lot more steadfast in their convictions, because there's a lot of shit going on. Call me crazy.
Okay, I'm going to say I appreciate you mansplaining that.
Let me mansplain feminism, too.
But the thing is that, to give more context, when we were having conversations about political beliefs the differences between our political beliefs, I would bring up, like, context. Like, I would bring up, like, okay, here's this information. And then he would say, like, something that was directly against, like, what I was saying. And I would get, like, mad, like, adamantly mad.
Well, that's what the Reptomartians want you to believe now.
So, like, it's... am I, like, crazy for thinking that, like, I should be able to hear other people's opinions without getting mad about things?
No, this, I mean, for some stuff, sure. There's some stuff where
it was literally just politics.
Yeah, it's a political hot button issue that's brought up, but, like, ultimately the debate doesn't mean anything. And a great example is, like, the U.S. penny. Some people will get super steamed if you suggest we get rid of the U.S. penny, a unit of currency that's effectively meaningless. Like, people throw away pennies because they're not worth it. People don't collect pennies anymore. The only reason we still have the U.S. penny is because the zinc manufacturers in America have, like, twisted the arms of Congress. Some people think it's, like, a symbol of U.S. heritage and it's worth protecting. Other people are, like, super adamant that, like, we need to get rid of it because it's a waste of government resources. But at the end of the day, it does not matter because it really doesn't affect people's lives in the same way that things like climate change or healthcare might. Mm-hmm. So on those issues, yeah, it's fine to, you know, quibble over things and it's fine to accept political views that are in opposition to you. But the whole issue we have right now in America with, like, racism is that there seems to be the belief that if someone's racist, you can't punch them in the face. That you have to listen to their opinions and their insights. That the Nazis have important logic and, like, knowledge that they can contribute to the conversation about whether or not Jewish people are humans. Or, you know, you can apply the same thing to the BLM movement, where, like, some people are like, oh, well, they can't be uppity because being uppity is bad. And the other people are like, well, we've kind of been pushed down for forever and we'd like to get just a little crust of bread. And like, it's totally okay to have opinions where you are steadfast again in your conviction that I am right and I don't want to hear other points of view that deny the humanity or the value of, you know, the people that I believe my beliefs are defending. That's not to say you can't be open and receptive to things in everyday life. That I feel is a completely different thing. I think you're apologizing way too much for having views that, to me, seem perfectly normal. I don't know. Maybe you've expressed some stuff on the Penny I disagree
with. Let me give you an example. Okay, I participated in a singular BLM protest in 2020. I would have wanted to go to more, but I just couldn't. And when I told this particular person that I was involved with at the time that I was going to a BLM protest, and we were talking about the BLM protests, it sounds like I'm talking about a sandwich. It
sounds like you're talking about the Bureau of Land Management.
The Black Lives Matter protests, I told him why I was going, and he got mad at me because he had members in his family that were, like,
Black.
Part of the police department. And he was like, obviously, you're still... He was like, obviously, you're directly protesting about against, like, my... And you obviously hate, like, all police officers and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, let me get this completely straight with you. Because this is my personal opinion. I don't hate cops. I hate the system. And I kept saying that, and I kept repeating myself. And he got so mad at me that at the end of the conversation, when I was literally screaming this into the fucking phone, because we were having this over the phone because hashtag COVID, he was like, I don't want to talk to you for a couple days. I need to cool off. Because he thought I was directly protesting his family member.
See, first I was on Naomi's side, but now that I've heard the arguments, I think I'm kind of leaning towards him.
Yeah, so now you need therapy.
God damn it!
Okay, but I do feel that reinforces my point, where, like, if he's mad at you for getting angry over defending the rights of a class of people versus the rights of a group of people who happen to have a job.
Who volunteered for that job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like... It seems you're on completely different planes. I'm not going to say there's not nuance within, like, the BLM movement and, like, protest tactics and other stuff that's worthy of conversation. I'm just saying that's a really weird place to lie down. So, one, I feel like his stance on, like, having firm political beliefs is silly. But two, like, I think maybe you're missing a larger point that if you disagree so heavily on something like that, maybe you're not compatible, buddy. Maybe you shouldn't be dating this person and trying to woo her back with logic and reason.
Reflecting back on that, I don't feel as if he had political beliefs because he was a straight white man. And he was so privileged in that he didn't have to worry about what was going on. And therefore, whenever I brought up these, he would kind of default into, oh, like, what do I believe on this? And take his opposition based off of the subject.
Right.
So I would say something, and he'd be like, okay, either agree or disagree with you on that, and then move on. The most common answer when I brought up things such as political beliefs was, let me do more research, I'll get back to you, and we never had that conversation again.
Really didn't want to discuss the penny, did he?
He really didn't want to discuss the penny.
Naomi's on the side of the zinc manufacturers.
Yeah,
I am. On the record.
I'm a sucker for pennies.
Naomi likes to roll them into, like, 50-cent rolls and then, like, put them in her fist to punch people with.
No, I like to make them into those, like, four-finger rings.
Brass knuckles?
Yeah, and then just...
Naomi, defacing federal currency is a crime. I wanted to be clear, Naomi was kidding. Please don't come after us, Federal Reserve.
Are we good to move on?
We're good to move
on. Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that I've mansplained what women should think...
It's clear as day that you moved on when you were on dating apps 2 weeks or less after breaking up with me.
Yep.
You want to know how long it took?
Yeah, kind of.
You want to know how long it took for me to get back on dating apps? You want to know?
I feel like I know.
3 hours.
2 days.
Nice. Hey, is that any more clear, buddy?
Yeah, like the... Yeah, exactly what you said earlier. Doesn't that say anything?
But it literally didn't say anything about him because I wasn't doing it to go and, like, have sex with random men or, like, go off and, like, date someone new. It was literally just for shits and giggles. And, like, the thing is that he, to the best of my knowledge, has never been on a dating app, so he doesn't understand, like, the...
I think he just, like, has Tinder in his head.
He has women delivered to him by his parents.
Oh, my God! I was just remembering something that happened. We were talking about breaking up a couple weeks before we actually broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And he got out his phone, his fucking phone, and he opens the Tinder app that was sitting on his phone the entire time we were together.
Awesome.
And he said, well, now I can use this.
Well, good for you.
And that wasn't the end point? And you're like, oh, what a good joke.
So I brought it up to him later, and he was like, I've never used it. And I was like, then why the fuck was it on your phone? And he was like, I just never uninstalled it. And I was like,
interesting.
Why'd you never uninstall it? Was it an insurance policy?
My friends downloaded it as a joke, and they made me a profile, like, as a joke. Like, we were just, you know, boy stuff. And then, like they were also, like, sending messages to women, like, late at night. I mean, this happened several times. Like we were at
But it was all a joke.
Yeah, I've never used it before.
And yes, I did send dick photos to women, but it was, like, a prank. It was like gotcha, and they were probably people who, you know, would have appreciated that. Like, they seem to have good senses of humor. All I'm saying is, like, I haven't used it for its intended purpose.
That's why it's still downloaded on my phone all
yeah.
together. So it's fine.
But
you can't do it though.
I can't. No.
Oh, especially after we're broken up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm working on a model agency, and I'm doing, like, a talent scouting thing where I, like, go through Tinder and, like, find attractive women
and send them messages being like,
hey, do you want to do a photo shoot completely nude? It'll pay you $150.
And then we have to have sex after.
Right, just to make sure it's a good investment. Yeah. Of course.
He said, I can only complain to a certain extent. I'm having good sex for the first time in a while.
Boy, please. No, you're not.
Oh, I am, of course, savaged by time and the cruelties of you toying with my heart. But boy, I'm smashing. I am smashing.
Do we? Okay, let me take a quick poll. I will put this on Twitter when we post this. Do we think that he is actually having sex with other women?
No.
Joel?
You were mentioning how he was pretty close to someone the entire time you were broken up. Does it seem possible that he might be seeing her now?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, she seems kind of desperate enough to, you know.
Damn. Bianca, this is being recorded, you know.
Oh, whoops.
I'm having good sex again for the first time in a while. Okay, what is good sex?
50 orgasms apiece.
Per session.
You have to have a Gatorade break midway through. In fact, you should just get, like, some of those Noom electrolytes and mix that into the Gatorade so you're, like, supercharged.
But you have to drink it while you're, like, having sex.
And this is the important part. You do have to be on a combination of heroin and cocaine. Like, that just brings it, you know, over the top.
Okay, got it.
That's what they don't tell you about, like, Hollywood.
Sensory endings tingling. But it caught me off guard, I guess, how you trashed me so quickly. Boy, I literally told you I was breaking up with you. It's not like I fucking cheated on you. How did I trash you?
Also, let's talk about trash. When you dispose of things, sometimes things are reused after you dispose of them. If you were to trash something, I'd argue that involves putting in the landfill, preventing anyone from using in the future. But it sounds more like you brought them to Goodwill, right? Like, other people can now choose from a set of hand-me-downs and decide if they want to take them.
Damn.
You Goodwill.
This is recorded, Joel.
I Goodwilled him. Oh my god. I don't understand how I trashed him when before he literally said, thank you for respecting my privacy. How did I trash you? I'm trashing you now.
No,
hopefully
he's saying
that now.
I think he's using that term improperly. He's saying you threw him in the trash. That's where I got the analogy.
Oh, okay. I still wish you the best. No, the fuck you don't.
Yeah.
But I also wish that you didn't try to
Dude,
fuck
end
me.
It there.
But I also wish you... Why didn't he just end it after hey?
Yeah.
But I also wish you didn't try to fuck with my well-being again. We have been through a lot of things with each other, and I think it's time for us to just be a memory.
Honestly, hey, you up would have done the whole exact thing.
Would have done
okay.
Completely justice.
One, here are my overall thoughts. One, why did you text that? Two, why do you have the audacity? Three, why did you feel the need to say any of that? Four, would you like to hear my response text?
Five, why the heck? Hell, are you listening to her podcast?
Okay, I will
you
say this.
Creep.
We are at an hour, so we can do this two ways. We can either go to, like, past an hour and 30 minutes, don't edit at all, and just throw this up.
Bro, I want to throw this shit up so quick.
Okay, so yeah, we can keep going.
Yeah, because I don't have much else except for my response text.
Yeah, so I want to hear response text and... Can I predict that, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then I want to hear reactions from other people.
Okay, I need to give you context before I read this to you.
Okay.
So what I did was I received this text about 2 days before I got this text message. I was talking to my friend who's also going through a pretty similar breakup, and we were talking about blocking our exes. And I was just, it was mainly in the sense of why do you let someone who's hurt you can, like, multiple times, like, have access to you like that? And I was like... oh, because what if he ever needs anything? And then I was like, wait, why do I care if he ever needs anything? Like, I'm not his support system anymore. So I was literally thinking about blocking him. So after I got this text, I was like, yeah, it's fucking time. So I blocked him. And then Bianca DM'd him. And what did you say in his DM?
Oh, should I pull it up?
Yeah, pull it up.
Oh, wait. My phone's off.
Okay. What
was it? I was just like, I think I sent like a whole bunch of middle finger emojis and I said, you suck. And he's all, huh? So I was just like, leave her the fuck alone. She's over you. Grow up. Like, she's better off without you. Can you just leave Naomi alone? And then he sent, like, you know, like, the hand
shrugging emoji.
And I just said, you're a pussy, that's all. And then I blocked him.
See, I feel that goes back to what I was saying earlier about him, like, putting women's underwear in the box that weren't yours or whatever. Was it a shoe?
No, it was necklaces.
Necklaces.
Yeah.
But I find I do this, and like, I'm not trying to excuse any of my past behavior, but, like, I do this thing where I'll, like, do something and then do another thing and not think that those two things are in any way connected, even if they involve, like, the same people. And so, like, people will be like, Joel, why were you so mean to her? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you weren't talking to her all night. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, you're talking to her at, like, that party, and then you're not. And, like, I'll go around parties and just talk to random people.
Right.
And then, like, I'll be like, oh, I talked to that person last time. I'm going to talk to a different person this time. But then people will be like, oh, you're ignoring her all night or whatever. And, like, I think sometimes people overthink those, but I think also to the same extent, guys don't understand, like, how their actions play in a larger macro environment. Mm-hmm. So in the same way that, like, he sends you that text message and is like, why is Bianca mad at me? He doesn't have the capacity to make that connection that, oh, Naomi's friends and talks to people she's friends with and might share things that I say. Huh.
But the thing is that, like, that's our only connection. Like, that's his only connection with you, I think. Like, you aren't friends with his friends.
Absolutely not.
So, like, therefore, I would think that, like, a typical person could put that shit together.
But guess not.
So anyways, I blocked him, and then I unblocked him a day later to send this message because I realized where he was getting all of his information from.
La, 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 la.
I actually texted one of your friends the screenshots.
Has he been on our podcast?
Yes, I texted RJ pictures of the screenshots, and I said, I don't know if I can pull up the text message. And he said he didn't even get my, like, initial text message. I just said, like, hey, I'm pissed, like, look at this. And he was like, I don't even need to read this. You should have just texted, this is too long, I hope you deal with it. Or something like that.
I
like,
would put, okay. And then blocked
him after that. So I unblocked him and I decided to text him back. I said, one, I did not lie to you. Two, you were listening to episodes that were recorded months ago and are out of order. Three, I did get back on Bumble for the sake of meeting new people and having male friends. ... Crazy, I know. Four, you have no business commenting on the way I'm living my life anymore. You fucked up. That's not my problem anymore. It's clear that you still care about what I do for some reason. I would appreciate if you stopped commenting on it. Five, you're welcome to continue listening to my podcast. I don't know why you want to do that in groups, but that's none of my business. From my perspective, it seems as if you're trying to shame me for sharing my life when it's what I do and it's my creative outlet. Maybe you should find one instead of continuing to listen to my podcast. Six, I'm going to repeat this. My life is no longer your business and you've no right to continue to comment on it. Seven, I have no idea why you decided to reach out. It's honestly kind of strange. I feel like we were done and there's nothing left to say. Eight, good luck. I could have been so much more rude. I could have gone out of my way. I mean, I'm being rude now. Like, let's be real. But, like,
I think that was the first thing I said when you sent that to me. I was like, why were you so nice?
Because I knew I was going to have this fucking episode.
Oh, absolutely. This is just a little salt in the wound.
I think you did the mature thing. You attacked the main points. I do like how cool and nonchalant RJ's suggestion was.
Oh, I fucking should have said that shit. That would have been so funny. The thing is, I don't even know if he blocked me. So, like, I don't know if he's going to, like, get this.
You could be, like, super mean, too, and be like, new phone, who dis?
You should have.
I should have. God damn it.
He sent this for a reaction, I think.
No, yeah, for sure. For
yeah. Oh, shit. What you should have done is been like, you should have, like, acted as though he was someone you were dating and been like, you know you can't talk to me like this. Jackson's, you know, gonna be home soon, and he's bringing his friends Steve and Trevor, and we're gonna have some fun, and if he sees these messages, he's gonna be so upset. I don't know, I'm spitballing.
Sorry, can't read this right now. Got a cock in my mouth.
Block.
I mean, I guess that goes to the heart of what I was saying. No, I mean, yeah, clearly he wanted a reaction. I think he wanted you to either be angry or repentant or some combination of the two, and you didn't fall for that bait, so good on you in that regard. But again, I think this is going to happen again, you know, whether it happens in 3 months or 6 months or a year and a half. Like, I do feel that he's probably going to follow up and see where you are and see if the romance is still there. I don't think you've scared him off or anything. I think this is exactly the reaction that a guy who's dedicated to logic and reason is going for, or thinks that he's going for. I don't know.
Yeah, the fact that he's still doing this after all this time, knowing that you are dating around, you do have this podcast, regardless of what he said, like, he's just trying at this point.
If he ever calls you on the phone, can you let me know? And I'll come over and loudly say, Naomi, are you talking to someone new? Your boyfriend in the bedroom's getting worried. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, please.
Whenever Naomi brings over anyone, I think I've done this to you. Whenever Naomi brings over anyone, boy, girl, man, woman, I always go, oh, you're so much cuter than the insert gender and approximate age range that she brought over last night. You're so much cuter than the girl she brought over last night. So much cuter than the guy he brought over last, etc. It's a great joke. It plays.
It works every time.
This is also a meta reference because apparently when my mother was brought to see my father's relatives, his siblings for the first time,
yeah.
This is what they said to her. And they were like, oh, she's so much cuter than the girl you brought home last Thanksgiving or whatever.
It's a family joke.
It's
funny.
A family joke.
Yeah. So,
you're part of the family, Bianca.
Yeah, I'm going to use that one next time. When your roommate brings over someone new.
Right?
Yeah. What were some other reactions of people in your socials? You texted 40 people. How many responded?
I sent you that, mm-hmm. And I sent RJ that, and I sent my friend. I sent mom and dad it.
Mm.
I already told you mom's reaction. That was mom's reaction.
Do you want to repeat?
I don't think she'd want me to, like, read it, like, line by line.
Okay,
basically,
gist.
She was just like, I'll get over, like, he's obviously not over you if he's sending that to you. I sent it to dad, and I didn't send it to dad. I told dad the gist, and I was like, hey, mom has screenshots of it. And he was like, if I ever see this guy again, he's on my fucking shit list. And I was like,
same, on site.
Dude, you're a Quaker. You can't beat him up.
He's not a Quaker anymore.
Oh, that's true.
I think he's still a pacifist, though.
Still, wow.
I showed it to people in my class. Like, I was literally in class I was outside of class, but I, like, showed it to the people that I know in my class. And I was like, oh, well, look what my ex-boyfriend just sent me. And they, like, read it, and they were like, what the fuck? And they were all just, like, so confused. Like, why do you have why do you feel the need to reach out when you were the one who wanted to be friends? Why do you feel as if it's necessary to share, like, I'm not going out of my way and saying, like, he's making it seem as if I'm fucking everyone and the grandmother. Like, everyone and the grandmother. And he's making it seem as if it's my fault for fucking everyone when I am not in a relationship, so it shouldn't matter. And also, it's none of his business who I am and am not fucking. Like, that
sure.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's
slut-shaming
you, but
dating.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't understand why this is necessary. Like, why was this... Why couldn't you just, like... yell this into your pillow. Like, I don't understand why you had to, like, go out of your way to read it. And so, obviously, like, I've spent the last, like, couple of weeks, like, reflecting on the relationship because, like, that's what you do when you break up with someone. And I kind of feel like a lot of the time, like, I'm not saying I'm totally completely innocent in this relationship, but I would say that, like, I do feel as if a lot of the situations were manipulated by him. And, like, obviously, like, when I told you I'm going to therapy, like, obviously, like, this kind of stuff, like, comes up. And when I, like, tell her, like, you know, like, there's three, like, sides of a story. There's her side, his side, or, like, fill in the genders there. And then the truth. And so, like, obviously, she's only getting one side of the story. But, like, she has her own opinions on this relationship. I am specifically reflecting on the one time that it was about this time last year. And I got into his car and I was asking him specifically because I had asked him if he like needed to get tested because he had been with someone else. And I said, look, like, because things just kept slowly coming out. Like the truth just kept coming out. Originally he was like, oh, I just kissed her. And then he was like, oh, like, other things happened.
Well, he didn't say where he kissed her. That's the caveat.
Ooh, yeah. True. And I was like, well, if you need to get tested, like, do that, like. Cool, like go
which is an
that.
Appropriate adult reaction.
Yeah, and so I said that, and like I'm not gonna lie to you, like I did get like kind of possessive in that relationship because of the way that things went down and the way that he was like, he never set up proper boundaries like with his female friends, and it was always just like, okay, my girlfriend's around, but like also like,
wanna come sit on my lap?
Hey. Okay, it wasn't that bad, but like you get the gist. Like he never put up proper boundaries, so the boundaries were often stepped over.
Yes.
And I would go out to a party and I'd say, hey, I'm going to a party, and like he'd get mad at me even though I didn't know where he was half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I didn't want to know where he was half the time. But anyways, around this time last year, I asked him, I was like, I got into his car, we were going for like a drive or something, I don't even know if we had the intention of doing anything, and we got in there and he's like screaming at me. He's like, I didn't have sex with her. He's like screaming, he's like, you're like a piece of shit, like waste of space, like blah blah blah, like screaming this at me. He drives me home, like we're like a mile from this house, he drives me home, it's like 90 miles an hour, he kicks me out of the car. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I'm crying, like I'm bawling my eyes out. I get into my car, I go over to Ethan's house, my friend Ethan's house, and I'm telling him the situation. 20 minutes after he drops me off, I get a call. I'm so sorry, I'm just super stressed right now, like blah, blah, blah. I have a test tomorrow, I can't believe this, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. If this is not like abusive behavior 101, if this is not like, oh, I'm gonna like beat the shit out of you, but then I'm gonna buy you flowers tomorrow and say I'm sorry, and then I'll be okay.
I've been saying that.
What do you have to say about this?
You should talk about your relationships more, because like for the listeners' benefit, like she's been dating this individual like on and off for a couple of years, and I like have never really gotten my finger on the pulse of like what drives this person. We've never had a conversation that's longer than maybe like 10 or 15 words. Like it's always been like a very distanced interaction. I've probably been in a room with him maybe 5 or 6 times.
Yeah,
and we
celebrated holidays
yeah.
together too.
Like our other sibling. Was dating an individual long term, and I interacted with them significantly more, and I felt that I knew a lot more
yeah.
about them, and I
and it's not like we were dating for the same
yeah.
amount of time, but also
like I definitely feel there's a distance in the relationships you've had compared to the ones our other sibling has had, and I'm really feeling that moving forward I'd like to have these conversations with you more often so I can be your Bianca and be like, but
wait,
here's the other thing. The reason I was putting my head in my hands as you were talking was, you realize what's going to happen next.
What?
You told him to go find a creative outlet.
Yeah.
And he thinks
he's going to start his own podcast.
Exactly. He thinks what you do is easy, that it can be replicated, that he's right in this relationship. He's going to start his own podcast where he talks about dating from the guy perspective, not the Joel guy perspective, the other, like, general male perspective.
Is he going to be, like, a knockoff Joe Rogan?
There's a lot of
a knockoff Ben Shapiro.
That, well, according to my wife's dry pussy. Oh, you can't say that word. I'm
so
sorry.
So here is my prediction.
This is the only time the P word will ever be uttered from Joel's mouth. That kind of slipped out. I was looking, the goal of making fun of Ben Shapiro, when all my censors went away. So
it's
if anyone wants to snip that out and play it in the future, there's one chance.
Here's my prediction. I think we should all go around and give our predictions of this situation. I think that he will get married way too young, have children way too young, and then regret it. What do you think?
I somewhat agree. I think he's going to have another relationship that's not going to work out, but will go on longer than he anticipates because he himself doesn't know what appropriate boundaries are. And if the person is particularly attractive, will overlook their flaws because he wants to date hot women. And he's going to start a podcast. That's 100%, no doubt in my mind. But he's also probably going to text you again in the future or have one of his other friends reach out, like, be like, hey, what's going on in your life? And get the information that way. Like, you're not going to vanish from his mind magically. He's not going to wake up one day and have, like, forgotten you or your existence drift to the back of your mind. It's still going to play a big role in, like, what he does moving forward. And I don't think he's self-reflective enough to think critically about the mistakes he made in this relationship. He'll definitely project you just making a lot of mistakes and thinking to himself, how can I prevent women in the future from doing what Naomi did?
And what I'm trying to say is that I'm telling you this perspective from my POV.
Let's bring him on next. Come out from behind the curtain over there.
I'm telling you my perspective. I'm telling you my sides of the story. Obviously, like I said, there's three sides of the story. I'm not saying I'm not to blame in some of these situations. What I am saying is that I do think that he was not ready for the type of relationship that he wanted to be in. And I do think that it won't work out for him the way that he's living right now.
Dude, a sexually mature adult gets tested. They don't consider it a hassle or an inconvenience. They recognize it as a part of having a healthy sex life. If you want to continue having sex with people in the future and thinking about sex with beautiful people in the future, go get tested. That's the only advice we can give.
Because that's the thing. Like you said, yes, it's a good idea to get tested. But I think at the root of it, he didn't like me as a whole. He didn't love me as a whole. He liked the idea of me. And he liked, like, being with me. I wouldn't say that our entire relationship, he was like quite ashamed of the fact that he was dating me because of our age difference at the beginning of our relationship.
He is 54 for our listeners.
Yeah. And, he
please,
didn't,
please correct.
Yeah, he was not 54, but I was, it was not a significant age difference. It was 22 months, but because of that, he thought like he was very ashamed of it and he didn't want to tell his friends. So
my stupid girlfriend is tagging along, guys. I'm sorry.
No, because for about like 6 months we were hooking up and he was not telling anyone. And when he finally decided to tell someone, he was so quick to just like dump me and just be like, okay, I'm done. Like, so, and then he kept those friends and he was like, don't worry about it. And
Don't worry, I'm not a pedophile. I dumped her when I realized the age difference and that other people were aware of this encounter.
So, yeah, looking back on it, not the best time of my life. And I do think that he just liked the idea of me and liked,
I think it was more like comfortability. Is that a word?
Comfort, sure.
Yeah, like he just found a lot of comfort in there. And I don't know how many people would have given him as many chances.
No.
As you did, definitely not.
No.
It's your forgiving nature.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what he's trying to do now is just like find another bitch who will do the same.
Yeah. And like the thing is that like if you do find that person, I'm not gonna like lie to you and say like I was the most secure person throughout the relationship. Obviously, everyone has to work on their security in themselves, but, like...
Naomi doesn't lock herself to a bike rack when she goes in places.
Yeah, but the thing is
she
that,
just
like...
She slaps people hard as hell.
I wouldn't... I'm working on myself in the sense that, like, I don't think it's a good idea for me to be in a relationship right now, and I hope you're listening to this and you know who you are. I don't think it's a good idea for me to be in a relationship right now because I'm emotionally... understanding of myself enough to realize that I don't want to bring the amount of hurt into my next relationship that I had from my past relationship into the next one.
I wish you could see that.
Yeah,
Bianca, any other thoughts?
I actually saw this thing on Instagram. I don't know why I'm thinking about this right now, where it's just like, if she glows up after the breakup, it's clear that you're the problem. And I feel like that you've definitely done that. You've been going to therapy. You've prioritized your schedule based on, like, your relaxing and your school and your work and stuff like that. He's literally been in the same slump. I guarantee you he has run back to another said individual that was the problem in the first place. So, I mean, yeah.
Can we leave him with some advice? Because I think it sounds like he needs advice. Well, one, the takeaway I'm getting is that we need to talk a lot more about sex on this podcast.
Yeah.
Positions,
Kama Sutra.
Well, I want to get into
not
that.
Enough.
Yeah.
Because it seems that he wants to have amazing sex and wants it to be clear that he's someone who has amazing sex. So, buddy, the first tip I can give you is find someone you actually care about, who you treat as a human being, and they'll go out of their way to make sure that you're happy and that you're pleasured in your encounters. The second thing is the prostate. Incredible organ in the human body. I know you're interested in having incredible sex, and I'm not sure you have the humility, so to speak, but consider pegging. Not other people, having it done to yourself. I think that would greatly improve your reactions. And let's be clear, I'm not trying to be like, haha, this guy's gay or anything. I'm genuinely saying, if you're someone who is looking for that, consider, you know, broadening your horizons. I don't think you will, because from what I know of you, you do seem to have a very repressed view of human sexuality and sexual encounters involving dominant and non-dominant individuals. But yeah, just consider it. You know, go to a sex shop, browse the aisles, you know, run your fingers over some packaging. Ask yourself, you know, deep questions about whether or not you need to do the same old routine, or if you're willing to open your mind's eye to other possibilities. Does that seem charitable? Is that fair advice?
No comment.
No comment. This is Joel talking about sex on the podcast.
God, I'm so glad
I'm going to be the only one talking about sex on this podcast. Naomi will stay completely
No, because the thing is, you know this. I go into vulgar detail when I talk about my sex life. Oh, and I do not think that that would be... I think that would be a little too Sweet Home Alabama for me.
Fair enough. No, that's totally fair. Yeah, no, I want our podcast to be... accessible. I think swear words are one thing. I think pretty much everyone of every age range now swears. I don't think that's too crazy and it's not going to expose anybody. And I think a lot of the information we're talking about is stuff that people, you know, younger individuals need to know too as they start to go into relationships. So yeah, like I want our podcast to be accessible in that regard. I do want to talk about like the impacts of pornography at some point, but you know, we do not need to get into weird specific details. If you think that we've gotten into weird specific details already, oh boy.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing.
You
have not
wait.
Lived on the internet.
Right. So, any final thoughts before we leave off here?
This is fun. You need to break up with people more often.
I think I should just go back in my like screenshots and just find all like my breakup texts. And
ooh.
Like go
just
this.
Collaborate them, see.
Yeah.
The differences between them.
You can
I
share some.
I,
I'll make like
I
a
don't
collage.
Know if I have any of them.
Yeah, Bianca, we want you to come back at some point. We want to talk about you in greater detail.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my dirty laundry. Oh, man. There's been a lot, like, the past. I know, ever since we graduated, I also think it's a good idea that we talk, or that you guys specifically talk about, like, more sexual experiences. Because, like, knowing where we came from, like, with school and stuff, that was, like, never even spoken about. And, like, there are so many things that I didn't know or I still don't know regarding that. So I think it's like, a good idea.
A good Catholic high school.
Oh. Catholic.
So anyways, I had a great time.
I did too. This apple cider was great.
I literally, I feel very relieved in the sense that I feel like I aired out my dirty laundry enough for the audience specifically.
She's used that word so many times. I think Mimi actually needs to do real laundry and that's like slipping
too.
Out.
It's just like a low that I do.
So many clothes you have.
Also, for anybody listening, Joel, would you like to give them a song recommendation based off of this episode?
We will let the song play out the episode. Let me get the exact name. I don't want to.
It's called Dirty Laundry.
It is called Dirty Laundry. I forget the artist. Carrie Underwood's Dirty Laundry. It's a great song if you're recovering from a breakup. It's a power ballad even.
We hope you have a great week. We don't know when this is going to be up, but we hope you love it just as much as we loved recording it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for letting me. Join in.
Oh my god, of course.
Glad to have you. In case you are already on our social medias, we are on Instagram and Twitter at Date These Guys. It gives episode updates and occasionally special content like this, which I don't think is going to be an episode proper.
I think I want to push this out ASAP.
This is just going to be one giant audio file we drop on Instagram. It's going to be great. We also have a Patreon at Date These Guys. Look, we keep mentioning this. It's totally fine if you don't have money. At the same time, though, we would like some additional funds to purchase some of the resources we've talked about and go into them in greater detail.
Like mail order brides.
Like mail order brides. I want to order a mail order bride. See what all the fuss is about.
Come on, guys.
I have found websites where you can do that. Boy, there are a lot of Asians on there. What a world. But yes, thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for putting up with our craziness, and we hope you enjoy your week.